Well, I want to just preach a kind of one-off message as we go away. Walking in freedom. Jesus said, you will know the truth and... Amen. And it is for freedom that Christ sets us free. And Jesus said, if I set you free, you are free indeed. Amen. In fact, the people upstairs, as we were praying for this service, had no idea what I was... Well, I think they knew the title. And they were just all praying that God will break confusion, that God will break wrong thinking about him. And so let's just pray right now. Father, Lord, I just pray that you will bring your word alive. Your word is living and active. And I just pray in Jesus' name that we will know the truth in our innermost being and it will set us free. And all God's people said, Amen. Do you know, back in 1643, I actually think it was Parliament asked the ministers of the day, a lot of them were Puritans who get a lot of bad press today, but actually they weren't as bad as people made out, evangelical leaders, to come up, now that we were no longer part of the Catholic Church as a nation, with what's known as the Westminster Confession. And you're getting a history lesson today. I'm a historian, so I love giving history lessons. And the first thing they wrote was, what is the chief end of man? Or woman, obviously. And they came up with this statement. Man's chief end is to what? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Wow. Can you imagine Parliament saying to the church today, come up with a confession about what you believe? But I find that really exciting. Now, the thing about that confession, a lot of people believe when they step into eternity, they can really enjoy God. And of course, there'd be no more temptation, no more sin. If you crash your chariot into someone, they won't get hurt. You'll be in eternal bliss. You will be in his presence. In fact, the Bible says he's going to show his kindness to us in the ages to come. So it's going to be easy to enjoy God. But they can't get the fact God wants you to enjoy him now. Amen? Amen? And this is where, you know, when I grew up, they said, this man in our church, he's the holiest of the holy. He never smiled. He hardly ever spoke. He looked permanently miserable. And apparently that was holiness. I don't think he enjoyed God. And this is where we need, if we are going to enjoy God in this world. And do you know what? The world needs to see Christians who enjoy walking with God. Amen. David said, in your presence is what? Fullness of what? Misery? Doom, gloom? Oh, fullness of?
Joy.
And at your right hand are? For how long?
Forevermore.
So David, when he sinned, he said, restore to me the what?
The joy of my salvation.
Restore. There's a joy that we have because we're washed clean, because we follow a God who loves us with an everlasting love. Amen? And so if we have the wrong concept of God, now I want to give you a clear background. If we think God is just this uncontrolled, some of us had uncontrolled dads who just, you know, had a saying. I know once dad said, I have a saying, I just hit my child because if I don't know what they've done wrong, they do. That's totally illegal and we don't do that. That's not what God's like. He's the perfect Father. He does discipline us. He does prune us. He does lead, take us through testing times. But as my African friends tell me, God is good. Oh man, that's very good theology actually. Right from the Garden of Eden, Satan tried to distort the character of God. He came to Eve and said, God knows if you take of the very one thing. Why did he have to leave that tree in the garden? Couldn't he put it on the top of Everest? The one thing God said they couldn't do. And Satan goes, God knows, if you take of that, you'll be like him. Distorting. In other words, God is withholding from you. I met some daft, backslidden Christians. He'd say, I'm just going to enjoy life. I'm going to sin all I want. And then on my deathbed, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. That's a lie. Number one, sin's not very enjoyable. And if you know about the Lord, you'll be miserable forever doing it. The most miserable people in the world are backslidden Christians. God wants you to live an abundant life. Amen. That's what he came to give you. When you live in accordance with the one that made you, you will find fulfillment. Amen. I love to think about Rachel, who was just a normal, whatever that is, young lady in the church in Chiswick. But now she walks the trash heaps of Madagascar, feeding the poor. They have a feeding day in the village and they feed, I think it's about 150, I can't get the exact, every week. You know what? The happiest people on earth are not the rich. They're the people that have found their purpose in God. Amen. Amen. And she lives. She breathes that. God wants you to live at peace with him. Now, we're not saying sin is irrelevant. I'm saying keep short accounts with God. Amen? Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do you know what that word grieve means? It literally means to injure, to cause distress. I find it shocking that little old me can cause distress to God the Holy Spirit. But you can. While you're shouting at the parking warden, in our church back in London, everyone had issues with parking wardens. They were always, that's the big test. The biggest test for me is when I was pastoring on the team at Kensington Temple and we had to get six cars out to get your car out of the car park. Can you imagine rounding up six people, all of whom, none of whom wanted to come? And I tell you, that car park, that was my Bible school. Do not grieve him. You see, if someone does something, a son does something wrong, you don't kick them out of the house, but there's a strain in the relationship. And God says, this is why Jesus said, the Lord's Prayer say, I believe daily, forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. You need to detox. It's not some 500-pound spa deal. You need to detox your heart. It's much cheaper. It's all paid for. Every day, allow the Holy Spirit. Lord, is there anything I have done to grieve you? Remember, the Holy Spirit doesn't sort of bounce in and out of you now. The Bible says you have been born again. He is in you. He was there when you were shouting at that parking warden. Sorry. You can tell what issues I was working on. They're nice in you, Bri. It's just like, you've got to be pretty bad to get a ticket here. But in London, anywhere you park, you get a ticket. And he was there listening. And it grieves him. Amen? So keep short accounts. And let me tell you this. Forgive anyone who's hurt you.
I can't forgive him.
Well, God says, if you can't pass that grace on, you're not going to keep receiving it. Amen? And there's so many people, and I remember Corrie ten Boom, when the Nazi guard came into one of her meetings, who was partly responsible for the death of her sister. And he came up to her and said, can God forgive me? And she looked him in the eye, and she just initially with hatred. But then as the Holy Spirit worked, with love and the forgiveness of God. And she said, yes, he can. Amen? Amen. Detox your heart. Can I just say, on a daily basis? I've had people bringing up offenses, you know, that happened 10 years ago. And whenever I meet them, they bring up this offense. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I can see some husbands and wives nudging. And keep short accounts. Amen? I don't know why they call it the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord didn't have to ask for forgiveness. But we call it that because it's the prayer he taught his disciples. And I want to encourage you every day. So there was some wacky teaching not long ago. You don't have to confess your sins anymore. It's all under blood. Listen, just put it. Do not grieve. Don't walk around grieving and hold us, suppressing all those things. Deal with it. Amen? Okay. Whoa. If we say we have no sin, what are we doing? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But, hallelujah, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever been in a relationship and there's frustrations building up on both sides, and there's tension and friction, and then you have some time and you just confess your wrong attitude to one another, and God brings healing? You remember any of my just the do you it's just me, okay, just me. Anyone married here? No. And you know, when you've worked it out, there's that tremendous, like a weight falling off your shoulders. I'm obviously just talking about myself. One day you might need this lesson, but for everyone else, you know, it's like a weight falling off your shoulders. He's faithful and just to forgive you. Let that weight fall off your shoulders today. Some people, they've forgiven others, but they can't forgive themselves. If God's forgiven you, forgive yourself. Some people say, that thing I was talking to you about yesterday, Lord, can you forgive it? And God's saying, I've forgotten it. I buried it in the deepest sea. As far from the north and the south, I've removed it from you. Amen? Whoa! So what did God say about himself when he passed before Moses? This is not what man ascribed to God. When the Lord passed before Moses, and throughout the history of Israel, this is what they proclaimed, and this is in the Old Testament, this is what God said as he passed before Moses. He said, the Lord God, just say it with me, is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. That's what he said about himself. He's slow to anger. In other words, there are times, yes, but it's slow. The Bible in the Old Testament says they provoked him to anger. Well, I think I've shared this before. I had a school teacher. He was the most kind, gentle, loving person you could ever wish to have as your school teacher. But once or twice in the class, when we're throwing paper around and paper aeroplanes, we provoked him to anger. But overall, he's gracious and merciful, and that's how he sees our world. He didn't come to condemn this world, but to save it. He is long-suffering. He suffered with you and I and all our darkness. He's long-suffering, abounding. Amen. Just say that. Abounding in goodness and truth. That's what God says about himself. So I want us to go where men have gone for hundreds of years, to where you can settle everything and walk and enjoy God. Even on Monday morning, even when the cows are kicking you against the fence, even when you have to meet that chain-smoking, blaspheming boss, you can walk in joy. Amen. You can torment him, but his life of misery can be different. One of the last things he said, it is finished, on the cross, that is. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The last thing, that means he is saying, I have completed it. Amen? It's not like, I'm done now. It's finished. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. Every requirement has been fulfilled. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about all 600 and whatever. He fulfilled it all. So you don't have to. In the terms of most anyone that drove over a mile to church, you've broken the law already. Hello? He fulfilled it completely. So, and if you break one command out of all the 600 and whatever, you are guilty as if you broke them all, James says. Wow. So now we live in that finished work of the cross, we live in a completely different covenant. And the first thing Jesus did, as I've said many times, when he gave up his spirit, there was an earthquake. He got in the temple, he ripped the curtain from the Holy of Holies, and he said, I am not going to live in this anymore. I'm going to live in you. And we're having a new temple. It's called the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you are that temple. Hallelujah. He came and lived in us. And that's what we got to live in the good of. It is as if Jesus ran the marathon of the law. He completed every requirement. David messed up. Moses messed up. Everyone messed up. But Jesus was 100% sinless. And he received the gold medal, the righteousness of God. But just as we saw that medal just now, he gives you that medal. The righteousness of God. Wow. Now let's just imagine that Yvette, you're sitting in a dangerous place. Let's just imagine from the moment Yvette was born to this very second, she had fulfilled every requirement of God. So she could stand and every tittle, every cross of the law, she fulfilled. So you could declare her righteous, I suppose, in one sense. Although we know that none of us have. But if you had, how would you walk before God? You would walk with a confidence. Amen? You would walk with your, as Caroline likes to tell me, with your head held high. Well, that's how God sees you in Christ, because of the blood. And that's why, of all people in this world, we should be joyful. We should walk with our head held high before a holy God because of that blood. Amen. We are accepted in what? The beloved. When you give your life to Jesus, you come into Jesus, and now as he accepts you because he sees you in him. If you look in the New Testament, you go for all the places it says in him. You are in him and you're accepted in him, the beloved one, Jesus. In him we have redemption through what? His blood. His blood. Let me tell you this, and I'll just pass on to this. No, I'll do that in a minute. His blood is full payment. It means the enemy had a hold on you because of your sin. You were under sin and death. But Jesus paid in full. Amen. That you can come and live as a child of God. It's not half payment. It's not a bit. It's not just your spirit. It's spirit, soul, and body. You are his. You are God's property. Wow! I remember back in London, there was this loony craze that went around certain Christians. And they would see you eating in a restaurant. And they would sneak around the back and pay your bill without you knowing. It was a great craze. The only problem is, I had some great meals, and it's like, oh gosh, Carrie's ordered another dessert. Oh no, she's ordered the most expensive. And I'm like, Lord, here you are. I need your provision. And the waiter, I asked for the bill, and the waiter says, sir, your bill has been paid. And I'm looking around the restaurant. Who was it? The only problem is you'd be walking past a restaurant an even more expensive one, and then you'd look in, there'd be someone, and the Holy Spirit says, you've got to pay their bill. It was fun for a while. It got a bit crazy. But listen, God has paid the bill. He's cancelled it out. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And you have been redeemed in full. Just say, paid in full. Hallelujah. Now these Hebrews, they were struggling because they had grown up seeing the high priest go in once a year, taking this, as it were, atoning on behalf of the people. They had seen various animals being slain as an atonement for their sin. And I can imagine in their mindset, they would look at that and go, that's where, you know, when I shouted at my mother-in-law, that sin of that goat or that bull, that's where it's gone now. They had a visual expression of their atonement. Now, and that's why it's really good we break bread every week, because it brings us back to where we can be set free. Amen? Now, particularly after the destruction of the temple, that wasn't happening. I don't know where these Hebrews were. I think they were around modern-day Turkey. And the writer to the Hebrews, we don't know exactly who it was, but he was saying, actually, something greater than what you witnessed the high priest do, because we have a new high priest, and Jesus came as what? Have a look. What's it say? As high priest of the good things to come. With a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this creation. Do you know there's a heavenly tabernacle? Wow. Not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, sorry. But what? His own blood. He entered the most holy place, not a place made by human hands, but a heavenly place. Once and for all. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to do it every year. We don't have to buy sheep off one of Nigel's friends or something and have them come in, and all the animal rights activists would get angry. And no, once and for all. Having obtained what? Eternal redemption. As I've shared many times, I've spent many years of my Christian life always feeling inadequate, never being able to enjoy God, never feeling that God accepted me, that I could come before a holy God and pray. And then God gave me an inner vision of a heavenly altar and the blood, the eternal. The blood has never lost its power. Amen. Amen. The Bible says it still speaks better than the blood of Abel. And I saw his blood. And the God just said, when I look at you, I see you through the blood. And then I saw myself wrapped, not in my good works, not in my trying to be a nice Christian, but wrapped in the cloak of righteousness that God gave me as a free gift. And it was like all those years of not enjoying God, knowing I was saved, knowing I was a Christian, knowing I had been forgiven, but not really able to be confident before God? Washed away. Your good works are like a filthy rag. You will never be good enough for God. Hello? Except the blood of Jesus. You know, Paul had the great revelation of who you are in Christ, of our righteousness. Read through Romans. But as he came towards the end of his life, it's like Derek Prince said this, the more I know about God, the less I realize I know about God. He's just so enormous. There's so much. You could study and pray every second of the day and there'd be more to know about God. He's so wonderful. So amazing. That's why those four living creatures can go, holy, holy, holy. I believe they're just getting another aspect of the glory of God. Amen? And Timothy was written towards the end of his life. And he's a man who served God faithfully for decade after decade. And he came to this conclusion of what he was outside of God. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am, what? The worst. Wow. Apart from God, that's each one of us. But in Christ, he's made us righteous. Wow, I'm going to move on. I know some of you are saying, gosh, we got some sunshine, Phil. Don't let us miss it. After yesterday. Religion says, I messed up. My dad's going to kill me. The gospel says, I messed up. I need to call my father. I think there may be people, on this live stream, and you've messed up real bad. Don't run away from God. Run to God. He'll fix it up for you. He will break in. Come to him with repentance in your heart. And he will take you from where you are. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, I thought I was dying. I had pleurisy. I thought it was some kind of lung cancer. I was vomiting up my lungs. Sorry, I don't want to spoil your Sunday lunch. But crying out, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And he revealed himself in the Gospels. So therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness to enter the holiest. So now the writer of the Hebrews is saying to these Jewish people that would watch the high priest once a year going in, he's saying, now have boldness, you can go in. Isn't that awesome? What do you think about that, Travis? You can go in and encounter the living by a what? A new and living way. It's living, it's new. He consecrated for us. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a heart full of, listen to this, full assurance of faith. If you're going to enjoy God, this is why one of the things that worries me about the modern church, very little teaching on the cross and the blood. It's like we left that to the early Pentecostals. If you want to enjoy God, you're going to have to enter with full assurance of faith. In other words, you're going to have to having our hearts washed, sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Some Christians are like the girl with the dandelion. He loves me. He loves me not. Anyone do that? I didn't do it. They all love me. So no, I'm joking. You see, their conscience was twinging them You can't do that because it's the way of the old covenant. That's the way you should do it. And what God needed to do to these wonderful Jewish believers is cleanse them, that they could come with a new and living way. Amen? Full assurance of faith. When I used to pray, I'd go, "Oh Lord, I'm just a worm. I'm just, you know, if you happen to notice me among all the cosmos, you know," and just, and then I, as soon as the Holy Spirit would come and go, "Oh, thank you, that's enough, that's enough." God wants you and I, like the high priest of old, to come with full assurance when you pray. Amen. You can come in. That's the new and living way. That's what Jesus has done. It's not just for one man once a year. It's for everyone. But you've got to let the Holy Spirit cleanse you. Those Jewish believers had lots of rules that no longer applied. So can we as Christians have lots of rules. You know, I was told, unless you have a 2-hour quiet time, God's not going to listen to you. Well, I just assumed then God didn't want to listen to me. If you don't fast this many times, God's not happy with you. Well, I fast, but I'll fast as God leads me. Amen? I've listened to some who tell me all the rules of their Christian background. Unless you do this, unless you do that, unless, and there's all these extra rules. God wants to cleanse you of those. Amen. So that you can come before him as a child. Because he's not just God. He's your father. Amen. Wow. Are you excited? Are you okay? And I, am I? Do you want to stone me now or later, you know? Let him cleanse you. I grew up in a very religious environment and I was so intense about everything and all these rules that weren't in the Bible. And God had to cleanse me and say, just come. Because my blood is a once and for all sacrifice. In full assurance. Amen. Amen. So when you come to the prayer meeting and you kick the cat on the way, just repent, but don't hold back. Come into God's presence. Amen. Enjoy him. He loves you. How are you going to overcome Satan? Well, the Bible tells us one way. They overcame him by what? And the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives unto death. The moment I saw that heavenly tabernacle, that he had achieved eternal redemption, once and for all, that blood that's never lost its power, I began to overcome. He's the accuser, he's the condemner, he's the liar. But once I saw myself in him, I began to overcome. And yes, when I'm convicted, I'll be the first to repent. Well, not that, you know, I'm not. But I overcame because I saw over me is that blood shed for me. And that's why I love doing communion every week, because it reminds me he did it for me. Okay, we're bringing this into land. If the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heather, sprinkling unclean, sanctifies the pure, how much, what? More shall the blood of Christ, whom God through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works. You know, a dead work is a work that has no faith in it, no love in it, where you're doing it because you think you ought to. Some Christians spend their whole life trying to do what they ought to do rather than doing it by faith and in love. I remember someone saying, I was made to do it. Well, God didn't make you do it. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Amen. Let God cleanse you from comparisons with others. I used to read all these biographies of the great and the good. And they were like, they got up at 2 a.m, they went to bed at 1 a.m, and they fasted, you know, their whole life. They never ate, you know. Anyway. But then I began to do proper research and I found out they actually were men and women that had flaws too. Never compare yourself to anybody else. A friend of mine was in the country having a break and someone came up to him with a Rolex watch and said, sir, $50, genuine copy. One of the things we need to do is come to that place of rest about who we are. Someone came to me once and said, one of your competitors, they said another church, down the road is doing this. Let's copy them and do it better. And I had to rebuke him. You know, sometimes I'm trying to be all nice, but occasionally this kind of comes out. I said, I don't have competitors. I have friends and colleagues. And if God is calling them to do that in our community, then probably we don't need to do it at all because they're doing it so well. Amen. Don't get into that. You know, Paul said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I think he was saying to the Corinthians, some of you hate me, some of you like me, but I am Paul by the grace of God. So he likes me, so get over it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You don't, copies are never as good as the original. God doesn't have copies, he has originals. There's only one Nigel Butler, hallelujah. There's only one Andy Mitchell. Well, that was a great speech at the wedding, by the way. Well done. Listen, be free to be yourself in God. Second commandment, love your neighbor as you love who? Yourself. Not in a vanity way, but you accept who God has made you. One of the things I had to learn coming to KCC, I think just like they have the love language thing in marriage, I think there's love languages in church. And the love language of this church is cooked meals. That's why I'm like this. Food, drink, cakes. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to really, really fit in with the culture. I'm going to have to learn to bake cakes and meals. And when I go and visit people, bring them food. Let me tell you this, if I had ever brought you food, you would be in the healing place the next night. And you know, I got before God. I'm serious, I am actually being serious. And I said, I'm just going to have to be myself. You wouldn't want to eat anything that I cooked. Before I got married, it was pre-made microwave meals. I had to learn to run in my lane. Amen? You don't have to copy Veronica or whoever. But you have to find what you are graced in. And it's being secure in that. You know, I've got friends, I've got people that we baptized who are now on national leadership teams, who preach in mega churches. And I'm like, I'm going to enjoy the lane God has given me to run. Amen? Amen. Don't try and copy anyone else. Don't try and be anyone else. Don't come to that place in God. I know where I'm graced, Amen? Right, here we go. We're nearly done. We're nearly done, son. He made peace through... Oh, gosh, Silas has given up. No, he's going to the loo. It's all right. I'm sorry. He made... What did he make? Peace through the blood of the cross. God wants every one of you to enjoy the full benefit of the cross. That you keep that short account and you walk in peace. He is the Prince of Peace. One of the last things Jesus did before the disciples had gone out, had begun the Great Commission, right at the start, he said, he breathed on them and said, "My peace I give to you." Today, I used to think, I'll get peace when I've won so many people for Jesus. I'll get peace when I've climbed so many mountains. I've done all these things, and right at the end of my life, I'll have peace. No. Jesus gave peace to his disciples right at the beginning, before the day of Pentecost. God wants you right now to live in the completed work of the cross with his peace. And I love this scripture. It's a kind of contradiction. Therefore, be diligent to enter. In fact, one version says, strive to enter that rest, lest any fall according to the same example and disappoint. There's so much God is going to do with this wonderful church. Hours, lots of work, lots of change, lots of things. There's so much God wants to do in your life. Even Pastor Ian, you know, I'm waiting for revival to break out in Cambridgeshire. Hallelujah. There's so much to do. But we do it from the place of rest. The Bible talks about the rest of faith. Amen? So I have to come before all of those things. God wants to give me peace and rest so I can walk with him and enjoy him forever. And that forever begins today. Amen? Amen. And may God give us. You don't need to be fearful. He's called you by name. You are his. When you pass through the waters, yeah, tough times will come. There are tough times. We are in a time of shaking. He will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they're not going to overwhelm you. He is with you. Amen? Of all the people on earth, we should be the people with no fear. One person said that the Bible says 366 times, "Fear not." It's the most common phrase. Why 366 times? One for every day of the year and one for the leap year as well. Perfect love casts out fear. There's lots of challenges. We're in a time of shaking. But God loves us perfectly. And he's your shepherd. And he cares for you. Fear not. He has redeemed you. He's called you by name. Amen. Okay, we'll close on that. I'll just go back to that first statement. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Not just when you step into that eternal bliss, but right now, when it pours with rain, it flooded in our garage yesterday, you can enjoy God. There We don't watch priests making sacrifices, but we have a high priest who once and for all put his blood on that heavenly altar, and that blood forever speaks of a better sacrifice, better than the blood of Abel. Not of bulls, not of goats, but the spotless, holy blood of Jesus. And you can overcome, and you can live with confidence, and you can come boldly into the holy place through that blood. And you can be you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, Yvette? You can be you. You don't have to be me. Hallelujah. You can be an original. You don't have to be anyone else. Let's stand. And can Rachel, is she with the kids? Have we got a worship leader somewhere? Oh my. All right, well, I'll leave it. We'll see what happens. Okay, why didn't you just thank God? Why didn't you just thank God? We had a message that people would be set free today. And so we just thank you for the truth. Lord, let that truth go into our hearts today, Lord. Lord, where we live sort of in blurred areas. He loves me, he loves me not. I'm accepted, no, I'm not accepted. I'm in, I'm out. Lord, where we live in double-mindedness, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us a revelation of that once and for all sacrifice and that once and for all blood that has been placed on that heaven, in that heavenly tabernacle. And we thank you, Jesus. We are accepted in the beloved. Thank you that blood doesn't just cover sin, it washes it, it remits it, Lord, so that we can enjoy you forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you just thank him right where you are? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you in your presence, this fullness of joy. Thank you that, Lord, I can walk even through a difficult day. I can enjoy your presence. Even when I'm messed up, I can run back to you and find help in a time of need. And Lord, that you are the restorer. You restore my soul. My cup runs over. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the eternal redemption, that I am paid in full, that I am God's property. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And right now, I just pray you will release revelation that we will know that truth, and that truth set us free. Hallelujah. Let's end out this time with worship. Let's thank him for what he's done for us. Let's worship him. Thank you.